Yes, before I start preaching, just wanted to share two or three amazing testimonies of things that's happened the last while. So firstly, on our very first Sunday, some of you were actually there. There was a girl that came to church, and when we made the call afterwards, if anyone wants to give their lives to God, this girl actually came forward. We prayed for her, and that Wednesday evening, we had another meeting, and I saw while we were praying, she looked very uncomfortable. Like, I could see, you know, sometimes you bring someone to church and you think, oh, please, God, let it not be that weird Sunday. That was one of those weird Wednesdays. So I encouraged everyone to pray out loud. It was one of those moments. And I asked, is anyone uncomfortable? And her hand shot up at the back. Like, I'm uncomfortable with what you guys are doing here. But anyway, she prayed with, she joined us. And afterwards, when I went to speak to her, I went to ask her, listen, I saw that you were quite uncomfortable. What happened? Like, just tell me what's happened in your life. And she said that that Sunday when she came to church, that was the second time in her entire life that she's been to a church. And the previous time was the Sunday just before that. And she said, listen, just so you know, this is weird. All of this is really weird to me. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on. However, on Sunday, I really experienced something. For the first time in my life, I think I experienced God, and I can't turn back now. So it's okay that it's weird. Amazing, isn't it? It's really amazing. Another person is a girl, some of you might actually know her. She's been coming here, grew up in a Christian home, came to church. She came with her boyfriend at first. She's been part of us for a while. And I honestly thought, yeah, obviously she's a Christian. She acts like a Christian, so she must be a Christian. And then this past Sunday, when we made a call to if anyone wants to give their life to God, she came forward. And I thought, oh, okay, cool, it's a recommitment. She just wants to make right with God again. And when we prayed for her, she said that was the first time in her life that she actually fully gave her life to Him. And so she's been around Christians and she actually felt quite shy just to come forward. But she said she's never really come to a place where she wants to fully give her life to God. And so both of them are being baptized next Sunday, which is incredible. It's really incredible. And then just the last one, I'm sort of brimming with excitement because there's been a lot of these stories. There's a girl that she started coming, her sister invited her, started coming to church in the evenings. And this Sunday, we had again one of those wild Sundays. You're like, oh, please, God, not one of those Sundays because I'm bringing a friend. And then it was one of those Sundays. And so worship just, God shifted the focus of the meeting where we were going. And in worship, we just trusted God that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on people. And so we prayed for a bunch of people, and there was one girl standing in front. And as we were praying, I could just see, she's been joining us for the last 3-4 weeks, but she was just crying the whole meeting through. You could see God was doing something. It was just tears and tears and tears. And afterwards, when I spoke to her, I asked her, so what did you experience? And she said to me, she grew up in a church where God was always very academic for her. She knew about God. She knew all the answers about God. But for the first time in her life, she experienced the love of God for the very first time. And she's getting baptized on Sunday as well. So it's like, you can give God a round of applause for those things, honestly. It really is the type of things that should make all of us excited. And as I start speaking this morning, because it actually is in line with my message and what I want to bring to you, is that I believe that the victory that we're experiencing in the evenings, it's not our victory. It's not just our victory, let me say it like that. It's your victory. It's all of you sitting here, it's your victory. You carry that victory with us. You sitting here, you sending us out, you praying for us, you releasing us, you doing that is advancing the kingdom. And that is your victory. You can celebrate with us, even if it's something happening in the evening. And vice versa, I'm looking around and I'm like, shucks, didn't 40 people just leave the other day? And like, doesn't look like it. But God is doing something here as well. And your victory is our victory. Because in Christ, we are together. And in Christ, we can share. And in Christ, although you might not know any of the three people that I spoke about now, in Christ, because we are united under God, that is your victory. That's your victory. And so us going, I know it was quite sad, like coming back this morning, it feels quite interesting. It's like old family that you haven't seen in a while. And oh, there's that weird uncle and there's that awkward brother or sister or aunt or nephew. It feels like that. But coming back here, I just wanted to encourage you guys. Really, it's our victory. It's us. It's us doing this together for God. And that's the beautiful thing. So I was praying for you guys, just asking God, God, what do you want to share this morning? Because I'm in a bit of a predicament when I was praying. I'm like, God, this is awkward coming back to you guys. You've heard all my jokes. They won't be funny anymore. You've heard all my stories. They won't be entertaining anymore. I can't preach a message that I've been preaching in the evenings now because some of you are there. I'm like, God, I'm going to have to hear you for a chance, eh? And I was just praying, saying, God, what do you want to say? And there's a scripture that God laid on my heart. And it has to do with what I was sharing now. The fact that together we are in this. Like there was this ad when I was growing up on, I think it was SABC 1. Simonye, we are one. Any of you know that? It's almost the sense that I got while praying. Just a celebration of our victory is your victory and your victory is our victory and we together. And God laid the scripture on my heart that I want to speak about. And if you want to give it a title for the message, I want to speak about having faith for our friends. Because I think, and I'm going to get to this, I think our faith in a Western society has become very individualistic. It's become about me, it's become about my victories. And if I don't have a victory, then there is no victory. But I believe God wants to shift something this morning in this congregation and saying, no, no, no. Even if you're not seeing a victory, there's still victory in the kingdom. Yeah, because we carry this thing together. So this is a scripture that God laid on my heart, and it's a well-known one. You all would have read this if you've read through the Gospels. It's probably one of the first things that you would have read as you got to, as you got saved and started reading the Bible. It's one of those stories. In Matthew 9, verse 2, you can put it up. But while you put it up, I'm going to give you a bit of context. So, or let me just read it, because otherwise you're going to read it and not listen. So let's go for it. And behold, some people brought to him being Jesus, a man paralytic. It means he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. So they had to bring him. He couldn't do it on his own. Physically, he was not able to come to Jesus to himself. There was no strength. Lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith, their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. The beautiful thing is Jesus forgives his sins, but he stands up out of the bed that they were carrying him in, and the lame man, the guy who couldn't walk, was healed. And the interesting thing about this story is this is in Matthew, but in the other Gospels, in Mark and Luke, there's sort of more dimensions to the story that gets added. So what happened was, Jesus was starting to become more and more popular. You know, it started with a small group. He picked his 12. But before long, the fame of Jesus started spreading. And more people started hearing about this person, Jesus, this prophet, this man of God that's doing miracles, that's speaking the word of God with authority. And so before long, there was hundreds, if not thousands, I think it was closer to thousands of people that started gathering, following Jesus everywhere he went. And so if you were to come to Jesus, if you wanted to receive healing from Jesus or hear the message of Jesus, you had to sort of push through the crowd. It wasn't that easy. And so it was this, this story where we fall into the story. There's this man. He can't walk. He wants to be healed. There's something in his life where he's trusting for this man, Jesus, to step in his life and do a miracle in him. But he can't do it. But he has friends. And his friends say, listen, we're going to take you. And they put him on a mat or on a little bed. And they start carrying him. And they get to this place. And there's a massive crowd around Jesus. And they know, if we can just get to that man, if we can get to Jesus, our friend can be healed. We've got faith. If we can just get him there. But it's difficult. And so as the story goes, they saw that was not going to happen. People weren't letting them through. And so they made a hole in the roof. Just imagine that. I'm not like Jesus, but imagine Jesus is standing here preaching. Imagine this place is full of people and no one new can come in. And all of a sudden, there's a crack at the top of the roof. And one of these things lift up. And they didn't have like all the hydraulics and stuff we had today. And just imagine this person comes down through the roof while I'm preaching, and it's his friends setting him down through the roof, and he's coming into the meeting. And when Jesus says it, when Jesus sees it, he says, I see the faith of you, therefore you are forgiven. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is it that we are so connected that my faith can bring breakthrough in your life and your faith can bring breakthrough in my life? You see, we're far more connected than we think. When you go through a difficult time, it affects me. When I go through a difficult time, it affects you. And what I want to do out of the scripture, because I think what the scripture does for us is it hits in the face of Western Christianity, where Western Christianity says it's all about you. Come for your breakthrough. Come for your moment with God, your goosebump, your church experience. Come for you. This hits Western Christianity in the face and it says, it's not about you, it's about us. See, our faith should not just be, God, I want to be a better Christian. Our faith should be, and biblical Christianity compared to individualism, is, God, we want to be better Christians. Because if they succeed, then I'm going to grow in my walk with God. See, those of you who were at the 412 conference, Andrew did such a brilliant job at this. You know, they asked this question when he spoke about different cultures and the bad aspects of our different cultures. If, I don't know if anyone's asked you this question, but do you think a fish knows that it's wet? Just think about it. Do you think a fish knows that it's wet? Maybe it's a bad question. It's just me. I don't know. It's like it's always been wet. That's how it grew up. From it was a little fishy. It was wet. Now it could be a big fishy. Wetness, water, is all that the fish knows. So it doesn't even know. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. I don't think a fish knows its wet. It just is. Like, fish, what are you? Are you wet or dry? I don't know. I am. I'm a fish. That's what I am. And you know what? We are similar. We're actually very similar. There's things around us, ways of thinking, ways of processing, ways of emotions that we go through, things that because we've been surrounded with that, those things for our entire lives, we don't even know that that's the way we think. You don't know how individually minded you are. I don't even know how selfish I am. Because the Western civilization that we've grown up in is selfish. It's all about you. It's not about the person sitting next to you. It's just about you and your faith. And I don't think we know, I don't think we comprehend how bad it is. See, it's interesting, every culture has its way, and I want to speak about this individualism thing before I get back to the scripture. I want to just make sure that we understand that it's there, that we do a bit of self-seeking to realize I am individualistic, I think about me more than I think about me, and there you just thought about you as I was, we think about ourselves, right? I just want to, get that point. So, the thing is, if you grew up in South Africa, yes, we're in Africa, but most of us are not Africans. You know that, right? We're more like European than we are, most of us. Not all of us sitting here. A lot of us are more European in our thinking and a Western way of thinking than many other places. If you go up in Africa, there's different. But every culture has its pros and its cons. Have you noticed that? Right? Like black people and white people, some are the same. If you grew up around here, some might be the same. But there's actually many times there's a big difference between black people and white people. Like, I'll tell you this. White people, we can't dance. We can't. It's not in our genes to dance. But tell a black person to dance, they're born with it. They've got rhythm in their bones. I cringe. I think sometimes we don't get more black people because in church when they sing that, and I'll sing because you are good, and I'll dance because you are good. I think when they see the whitey starting to dance, they run for the door. They're like, I'm out of here. There's these massive differences, actually. So in a Western society, as we grow up, you know what? Good things that we do, we're good with looking after things. And so if you give me a car, I know I need to service the car. We go up into some places in Africa, give someone a car, they're not going to service it. It's not a big thing for them. So that's a good thing of our society. A bad thing of our society is we only think about ourselves. We're individualistically minded. It's my car. It's not your car. That car was given to me. You go up into Uganda. We visited Uganda a while ago. If I give you a car, that car has been used for the needs of the people around me. Where does my family need to be? Where does the church need me? But that car won't look nice. They won't use the money on a service. They'll use the money for the people around them. And so the bad part of the culture in Uganda might be they don't look after what you give them. But the good part is Ubuntu. It's together. We've got a togetherness. And so each culture has its pros and its cons. But I want to say our culture, the one that we are in, it's not just that we can't dance. The worst thing is we think too much of ourselves. We're too narrow-minded when it comes to that. And so I want to just go through the scripture, and I want to actually, this morning, tackle three things, tackle three areas of individualism that all of us should think about and should deal with in our Christianity. First one, individualism says, what I do affects me. Biblical Christianity says, what I do affects you. I'm just going to say it again. Individualism says, what I do affects me. It influences me. Biblical Christianity says, what I do or what you do affects the other party. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 to 27. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The context here, it's speaking about us being different parts of the body. Each one has a role and a function. We're not the same. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. Just hear this, there's no division. You are not just a hand on your own or a foot on your own, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Next verse. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Last verse. Now you are the bodies of Christ and individually members of it. The scripture makes it so clear. We are more connected. When you come into Jesus, this is what happens. When I get born again, God makes me a new person, but he puts me into his body. I go from being Leonard on my own, just Leonard living for himself. And when I get born again, I die to my old self. I get resurrected as a new person. And that new person is part of the body of Christ. Spiritually, when we get born again, God has placed you with the people around you. He's put you here. He's connected you far more than we think or imagine. And see, those group of friends, they knew that. They knew that if their friend broke through, they would break through. And they knew that if their friend couldn't walk, they would have to carry more weight. See, I think there's some weight that we're carrying because some people are struggling. And there's people in this congregation that I think are going through difficult times. But because we don't think, if I can get that person to break through, then I break through, it will hold all of us back. But if we can shift to biblical Christianity and say, I don't want you to go through a bad time. I don't want you to be paralyzed. I see your disability. And I want to trust that in your disability that God will bring healing. And I'm not just speaking about physical, speaking in all aspects. Because in your breakthrough, I get breakthrough. I'm going to tell you a story. There was this, we had last week or the week before, we had a training time with Andrew Selly. Those of you know him. It was an incredible time. It really was. And there's this one pastor, an American pastor. You can always spot an American from like a kilometer away. You just hear them, eh? They're very loud people normally. So I knew there's an American somewhere. And we were praying for the guy. And I mean, that we were praying for a few people that have struggles in their lives. And we came around this American guy. He's a pastor in a church in America. Came through to check out what we were doing and what we're on about, what Josh Chen is about. And as he was here, we were praying for him. And to be honest, like I was praying, but I wasn't like really engaging. I was just there. There were enough people praying for him. But as I was praying for him, I don't normally see pictures. I'm not like one of those people that see pictures. But this moment, I don't see those things. I wish I saw more of it. I see in black and white. Some people see in color. Hey, another black and white person here. But I saw this picture of a thorn being pulled out. And I said to him that my immediate thought was, there's a scripture where Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh. In a sense, Paul said, I have a disability. And it's interesting. Paul said, I went to God 3 times. And I said, God, won't you take this disability from me? I don't want this disability anymore. Whatever the thorn in the flesh was, this thing hindering me, hampering me from following you as I should, please take it away. And Paul says that God answered him and says, I will not take it away. My grace is sufficient for you. But while praying for this guy, I just had this strong sense that he thought he has a thorn. He thought his paralysis is for life. I'm going to struggle with this thing for life. It's going to be with me for the rest of my life. But I just felt like God says, no, pull out that thorn. It's not from me. You not being able to walk, your paralysis, whatever that might be, your thing in your life that's hindering you, it's not from me. Do not make peace with your paralysis. Don't leave it there. And I feel really for us, it's something important for us to grasp. I think we've come to this place where we look around And please don't just hear physical. We see people struggling with the same things over and over and over again. We know it. They are friends. They are family. They're the people sitting around us. And we've made peace with the thorn in their flesh. We thought, God, you'll help them. And I just feel this morning for us, God wants to knock that thing. He says, no, don't let it go. If you see your brother and sisters falling in the same thing over and over again, do not let it go. Don't let it go. It's going to affect you. It's going to bring you down in your walk with God. It affects all of us. Pull out that thorn. Have faith with that person. Bring that person to Jesus. God does want to heal. He does want to deliver. He doesn't want us to be stuck in those things over and over again. The second thing, individualism says, God will help my friend if he wants to. Just if he wants to. But biblical Christianity says, I have a part to play. I have a part to play. Just imagine that group of friends. Imagine if this was their thinking. Jesus knows my friend is paralyzed. Jesus knows my friend wants to be healed. So what we're going to do is we're just going to stand outside. And if Jesus really wants to heal my friend, then when he passes by, he'll see him and he'll heal him. But thankfully, they didn't do that. Thankfully, they thought, no. We have a part to play. We are taking our friend to Jesus. And I want to strongly urge you today, when people around you go through difficult times, when there's things that you see in people's lives, do not let the thinking creep in because it's an individual-minded thinking. God will do it if he wants. No, we are connected. You have a responsibility in your friend's life to speak the truth in love, to bring that person to Jesus so that Jesus can bring healing in their lives. It's interesting how it says, when Jesus saw their faith, they were healed. Romans 10, verse 13 to 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Last verse. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. What this scripture is saying is we cannot be apathetic towards the people around us and think if God wants to do it, then he will do it. We need to have a thinking saying, if I don't take that person to Jesus, they might never be healed. And I'm telling you, I hope this is like sinking in. I hope you think you know of the people around you. If there's people in community with you, some people might never break through in the things of God that he wants for them if you don't play your part. Isn't that a scary thought? Some people will never break through and see more of God if you don't play your part. If you don't help them get to Jesus. There are some people who will never get over a sin in their life. They'll keep falling into that sin for the rest of their lives if you don't step in and take them to Jesus. There's some people who will never be fully on fire for God. They'll always just be lukewarm Christians, always just be sort of somewhere in the middle. If you don't step in and take them to Jesus, you have a responsibility for the people around you. We have a responsibility. Biblical Christianity says we actually have a responsibility for the people around us. Am I making sense? Okay, I hope so. Final one. Individualism says, because this is the thing, when we get to this point where we realize, cool, I've got a responsibility for the people around me, individualism says, I'm going to sort that problem out. I'm going to do it. Biblical Christianity says, only Jesus can do it. It's only him. It's interesting, those friends, you know, they could have said to him, no, it's okay. Learn to love God in your disability. It's okay. You'll feel like this for the rest of your life. This is my wife. Sorry, that's why I can touch her shoulder. Not awkward. That's like, we could do that. You know, I'm sure some of you have been there. You see Vian, like he keeps falling over the same thing. He keeps making the same mistake again. Like he keeps struggling with something. And we just go to Vian, hey man, it's okay. Just learn to love Jesus in your difficult times. Just learn to love him, right? And we actually sometimes we step into this place of giving our like advice. We think we're like counselors in a sense. This is what I think you should do, Vian. If you just do this and this, it might go better for you. But just keep loving Jesus and it'll all be okay. You know what? That's not the way it should be. What I should do is I should go say, Vian, this is a problem. Let me take you to Jesus. He's going to sort it out. I cannot sort it out. Jesus is the one that can bring breakthrough in your life. I was just thinking while I was preparing for this and thinking of this point. I was at TMT as well a couple of years ago. And one evening we went to watch a rugby game in Paul, which is just the town next to Wellington. Bible school is in Wellington. And as we drove back from the game, we were driving on one of the back roads of Paul. And in the road, it was evening, but in the road, there was an accident. About 10 or 15 cars in front of us and an ambulance. You could see the siren of the ambulance. And quickly, we stopped. We couldn't get through. You couldn't actually drive. So quickly, we stopped, and we thought, okay, let's just go see what's happening here. And we went, and what actually happened that evening was there's a restaurant at the top of the hill. And one of the guys, he got drunk the evening, and he got into his dune buggy, beach buggy, and he went for a spin on his own in his beach buggy. He was drunk. And it's about as high as the middle of these windows. And as he was speeding, he lost control of the dune buggy and he came off and he fell into the road and he was dead as he hit the road. And so we got to a guy dead in the road. They had covered him with a piece of cloth, but you could see there was no movement. This guy's dead. And I was so conflicted in me because I thought, I know I can't do anything about this. I can't raise this guy from the dead. And just a disclaimer, he wasn't raised from the dead, just so you know, that's not where the story is going. But I felt so conflicted in me because I felt like, as a Christian, shouldn't I pray? Like, shouldn't I actually go to this person and pray? And some of his friends, it was a couple of girls, they came from the top of this restaurant, ran down, and they saw him, their friend, dead in the road. And they started weeping, weeping, weeping. And the one lady, she shouted out, why is no one praying for him? Why is there no one praying? And I felt so conflicted in me, and I thought, well, I can't not pray. I need to put my faith out there. I need to. I don't know if God will heal him. It's not like I had much faith for it, but I felt like I needed to step out. And I got my friends, and we went, and we started praying for this dead guy, just trusting God. If it's your will, then you will resurrect him. I don't know. God does stuff like that. I've never seen it. Maybe one day I'll see it. I don't know. But we were praying for him and we knew it's not in our power. When a dead person is in front of you, what do? You can't pick them up and say, walk again. If God wants to do it, it will only be God that does it. And so eventually, like after praying for a long time, the friends started asking us questions. We were able to actually pray for a couple of the friends. And it was an amazing evening. That guy was never resurrected. But I think a couple of those friends got a massive wake-up call in their lives. So God used it. The point that I want to make is not that the guy was resurrected. The point I wanted to make is when I looked at that guy's situation, I knew it needed a miracle for him to break through. It needed a miracle. But when sometimes we look at the death around us, people who are dead in their walk with God, people who are stagnating in their walk with God, we feel somehow that we can do it. We can just give the right bit of advice and they'll break through. When the truth is, God is the only one that can bring a change on the inside. God is the only one that can resurrect something that is dead. He is the only one. Where have we sidestepped that and come to a place where we think that we can resurrect the dead? Where we can look at someone going through a tough time and think, I can bring your breakthrough for you. We can't do it. God is the only one. The God of miracles wants to come in and he wants us to bring our friends to him so that he can bring the breakthrough. It's only when we look at him, it's only when our eyes are on him that he can do those things in our lives. And so I'm gonna end. Maybe I can just ask you to stand. I'm gonna end it a bit different this morning. Now I'm starting to say this evening. But I wanna land it a tiny bit different. So normally we say, if this message applies to you, then come forward and we wanna pray for you. And that's not a bad thing. But again, that goes against what I've been trying to communicate to us this morning. Because that again is you. God, I wanna be better in this. No, it's God, we wanna be better in this. So you might not know the people next to you, but what I'm gonna do is, in a moment, I'm gonna ask us to just put our hand on the person next to you on their shoulder. And I'm going to ask us to pray for each other so that the person next to us would realize how connected we are together and would pick up the calling to look out for the people around them and for breakthrough in the people in the person next to you, your life. So can we do that? Just put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. Just as a sign of saying, God, we are connected. We know that we're connected. We know that you've made us a family. The beautiful thing about churches in Acts 2:42, we've been speaking about that lately. It says the Lord added to their number daily. That means if you are here, it might be the Lord is adding you here. It's not just you here because you want to be there. The Lord adds you to a body of believers. And I want to pray for us for that. And maybe as I pray, you can just trust for the person next to you. God, I thank you for the fact that you love your people in general. God, I thank you for each person standing here, Lord. And I want to pray, God, firstly, that you'd put a revelation in our hearts of the fact that we are more connected than we think. God, thank you that the victories of the people around us are our victories because we grow in God. We go forward in God. God, we thank you that the people who are going through tough times in the lives next to us, God, that you have placed us around them for a purpose. God, thank you that you do not leave any of us alone. Thank you that no one standing here should walk this road alone. But God, you've placed us as a family together, as a family of believers. Can I just ask, you can, just in your own words, just pray for the person next to you. No one's going to listen because everyone's going to be praying. But just pray for the person next to you out loud and just trust God. Just for a moment, let's trust God that he would break through in every person's life. Come just out loud. It doesn't have, if everyone does it, it's not awkward. Just pray, God, break through in that person's life. Well, thank you for your love for them. Thank you that their victory is my victory. Thank you that their tough time is my tough time. Thank you, God, that you are involved in their life. Thank you that when they come to you, you can bring breakthrough. Thank you that you've placed me next to them. Thank you that you've made us a family. Thank you that you want to do a good thing in their lives. Thank you that if they grow, we all grow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just a moment still. Just keep praying. Just keep praying for the person next to you.
Lenzi, if you can come forward wherever you are, please. Thank you, God. Lord, I want to pray for each of us. Just keep your hand on the person's shoulder. God, I thank you, Lord, that as we stand together, Lord, thank you that our relationship with you is not only horizontal, but it's vertical as well. And thank you that in the vertical, Lord, as we love each other, the world will know that we are your disciples, God. As we stand with each other in the difficult times, God, you will bring breakthrough for all of us, God. Thank you that together we can do much more than we can do alone. God, birth that revelation in us, Lord. Put it in us. Put the understanding of it, God, that maybe alone we can go fast, but together we can go so far in you, God. We can go so far in you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Just keep standing there where you are. You know, it's so interesting. I was just, if you guys, jullie drie net gou, jy kan kom staan. It's so interesting. I was just reminded of this picture in a sense. Hak net in by mekaar. It's so interesting that Christianity was never supposed to be just like me on my own. It's not just the, like, you know, we do that. We tend to, in worship, we just think, oh God, it's me and you, it's me and you. And yes, that part is important. It's really important that we connect with God, that we are intimate with God. But this part, the vertical, the horizontal, is just as important, because if we do this and he falls, if he's weak, just weaken your knees. Then they can, thankfully we've got two strong guys, then they can keep him up. But if we're not connected, if we're not connected in family, just leave him. Just leave him. And your knees are weak. Your knees are weak, yes. Then we fall. So just stand together again. But this is what God always imagined when he saw church, right? This is what he saw. Not a bunch of people just coming to a church and leaving, like attending a service, because then you're just coming like this and then leaving again. That's never what God saw. God saw us being connected as a body of believers, saying, when I'm weak, I know someone is going to keep me up. When I'm strong, I know that I can keep them up. That's the beauty of how God has placed us together. You can sit down. Thank you. The three models. But can we just, before we leave, just make a last call. If you can close your eyes. See, I think some of you, a friend actually brought you here today with the hope that Jesus can bring breakthrough in your life. A friend or a family member. And you know that you need a touch of God. Whether that's like you're just at a bad space in your life, a really bad space, and you need God to bring breakthrough. Your husband, your wife pulled you here. Your friend pulled you here. Your brother, your sister pulled you here. Someone pulled you here. Someone invited you and said, just come. You know what? It's such a beautiful thing, because in a sense, I believe this morning that they are like those friends. They're lifting you through the roof, setting you down through the roof so that you can get to Jesus, because they know that you need Jesus. But you need faith as well. You need faith as well. You need to come before God this morning and say, yes, God, I need it. I need you. See, it's so interesting. That person wanted physical healing. He came to Jesus because he wanted to walk. But you know what Jesus said? Brother, your sins are forgiven. He gave him salvation when he asked for physical healing. And he gave him the physical healing. So I don't know what you're calling out to God for. It might just be that you're in a bad space. Stuff is just going wrong in your life. But God wants to bring salvation as well. So let's just keep our eyes closed. If that's you, if you just want to say, God, I know someone maybe brought me here this morning, or I knew I had to come. I know I need Jesus this morning. Can I ask that you just raise your hand? Thank you. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. Thank you. Just keep your hand up. Just keep it up a while. If you say this morning, God, I know I need you. Jesus, I know. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I need you. If maybe the community leaders, deacons, just open your eyes and look for the people around you. Just keep your hand up so that someone can come pray with you. Just keep your hand up for just some ladies that can come pray here as well. Is there anyone else? All you, just I'm just looking for people that say, God, this morning I need breakthrough. I don't even feel it. It's like, but I know I need it. Just the last chance. Just while we keep our eyes closed. Is there anyone? Just the last chance. You say, Jesus, I need you this morning. They're just there at the back. Just stand next to them. Okay. So what I want us to do just as we end is maybe if there's someone that put up their hand around you, you can see there's people gathering around them, or there's someone that you just want to pray with this morning, that you want to trust for breakthrough in their life. Can I just ask that we end that way? Renzo's going to play for us, but that you just pray for someone, especially the people who put up their hands. And let's just take 5 minutes and end the morning that way by praying for each other for breakthrough. So just look for the people around you. Look for someone to pray for, okay? If there's no one specifically, just look for someone. Find a friend or a family member and just pray that God would break through in their lives. Whoever you're standing next to, just pray for that person. Let's just take a few minutes and pray for each other.